Atney versus Commonwealth, Mr. Sloan and Mr. Jeffrey. And to those of you with merit arguments here today, the Circuit Court of Lexington is kind enough to allow us to use this wonderful facility for our panel today, but unfortunately we do not have timing lights. So I will try to keep the time from the bench. I will let you know when you are into your rebuttal. You may continue arguing if you wish. You may reserve the remainder. But so with that having been said, Mr. Sloan?
Yes, Your Honor.
You wish to reserve any time for rebuttal?
Yes, Your Honor. Perhaps 5 minutes or so.
5 minutes?
Yes. Hopefully I won't take a lot of your time, Your Honor.
You may begin when you're ready.
Thank you. Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court. I'm here today asking that the court order a reconvening of the sentencing hearing in Mr. Matney's case before a jury. I think the court will be aware that Mr. Matney was tried by a jury and convicted of possession of a firearm by a convicted felon. Due to the jury instruction that was handed up, he was sentenced to 5 years on that conviction. Post-trial, another attorney replaced original counsel and brought pre-trial or post-trial motions challenging whether he had been convicted of a violent felony and prevailed on that challenge. And the court scheduled or ordered a new sentencing hearing. Two other attorneys represented Mr. Matney during that phase, and then I came in at the end. And
that my question,
yes, Your Honor,
sort of relates to that because he has representation, as you note, has changed.
Yes.
The assignment of error that's before us sort of keeps changing. There was an assignment of error in the petition for appeal, which is the one, of course, that's usually before us when we decide whether to grant.
Yes, sir.
And it was, if I recall correctly, it was denied at that stage, but then granted at the writ panel.
Yes, sir.
It was a slightly different assignment of error at the writ panel. And then the assignment of error that's before us now in the amended brief is different again. Can you tell us what you believe is the correct assignment of error before us, and was there leave of court asked to amend it at any point? Or?
Leave was not asked, Your Honor. The I think the after the original petition was denied, I was instructed by this court to bring the issue before you today, as I believe it's drafted now in the error in the brief.
You were instructed by the clerk's office, or?
I believe in the granting of the petition. I had several points in the original petition, and all were stricken except this one, and that's what has narrowed our focus to today. Our contention, Your Honor, and it is that there is a constitutional right to a trial by jury.
Which constitution?
Constitutions of the United States and of Virginia provides for a right of trial by jury. I think the case
but
law.
This is not a trial on the guilt or innocence of the defendant. This
correct.
Is a sentencing issue.
Yes.
Does the U.S. Constitution provide a right to have a jury fixed sentence in a criminal case?
Where I get to that is looking at Virginia section 19.2, 295.1, which sets up the bifurcated process for criminal trials. And my argument here today is that statute sets apart a specific class of people, criminal defendants who have been convicted by a jury in Virginia. And once you have been convicted by a jury, Virginia law directs that you be sentenced, or that a jury conduct a sentencing hearing. Jury be present for the sentencing hearing. And then, of course, that recommended sentence goes before the judge. My argument is that statute sets apart a specific class of protected individuals, which are protected under the 14th Amendment of the United States Constitution, to equal protection.
Are you aware that the Virginia Supreme Court has rejected that argument?
No, Your Honor.
The argument was made, and I'm looking for the case right now, but the argument was made that a juvenile is entitled to a jury sentence on the for the same reason. It would be an equal protection violation if an adult was sentenced by a jury, but not a jury, not a juvenile. And the Supreme Court of our Commonwealth said that because being sentenced by a jury is not a fundamental right, in fact, could be changed tomorrow by the General Assembly if it were so inclined, there was no equal protection issue.
In my preparation and research,
I'll get that case.
And certainly I would appreciate the court's guidance on that case, but the history of Virginia law, I think, says that, you know, the function of the jury, in one phrase, has been considered a sacred right of citizens in Virginia, the right to have a jury for both parts of these trials has been upheld consistently. This court, as recently as July, remanded what appeared to be an obvious case, the Greer case, for resentencing when concededly there would be no other sentence than what the Commonwealth maintained would be proper.
But counsel, that was a statutory point, correct?
Yes, yes.
So why don't you move on to your statutory argument and tell us why you're not barred by 5A18 from presenting that today.
Your Honor, I believe the trial court, in an effort to accommodate the defendant and move his case along, which had languished in court for quite some time, tried to grant him an indulgence and deal with him generously. However, in doing so, the court failed to provide a jury. Without a request by the Commonwealth or an agreement by the defendant, the court dispensed with the jury and proceeded to conduct the sentencing. Concededly, we are, those issues were not as artfully preserved as they should have been. I concede that, but the spirit of the law, I believe, indicates that this case should be remanded for a resentencing in conformance with 19.2, 295.1.
Can I ask you a follow-up on Judge Decker's question? I mean, I don't mean to press any more than we are about where it was preserved below in the trial court.
Yes.
Because you weren't trial counsel, as I recall.
I was counsel at the sentencing, not at the original trial.
But if we're looking at where it was preserved below, this argument, on either the statutory ground or on the constitutional ground, we have to have some indication where that was argued to the trial court, as well as in your summit of error that's granted, where it talks about a Sixth Amendment claim or a claim under 19.2-295.1.
Your Honor, we commenced our remarks at the sentencing hearing addressing the defendant's desire for a jury to be impaneled for his sentencing. And the court had made its own decision to not proceed in that fashion, to dispense with the jury.
You argued for resentencing by jury.
Yes.
But did you argue to the court under the Sixth Amendment or under 19.2-295?
No, Your Honor, just a simple bald assertion that the defendant wanted a jury and had wanted a jury to hear his case as for the sentencing phase. That would be all at this time.
Just, I found that case I cited. It's Ballard versus Commonwealth, B-A-L-L-A-R-D. That's 228 Virginia 213.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Your Honor.
You have your rebuttal time remaining. Mr. Jeffrey?
Good morning. May it please the court. Judge Beals.
Just a second.
Okay.
I'm working too many electrical devices up here at one time.
I don't bring mine. I'm dangerous enough with a legal pad.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Let me address your question about the assignment of error very quickly, Judge Beals, because my opponent didn't have the opportunity to thumb through the file as readily as I did. What he told you was absolutely correct. There was an initial assignment here that was rejected. When it was granted, I did notice that Judge Petty was one of the judges on the panel. I think that was the only common judge on the writ panel. It was modified and by the court. When it was granted, slightly from what was in the original
petition. June 18th, 2014, I found it as I was flipping through, too.
Yes, sir. And then the evolution beyond that was Mr. Sloan, in his first brief, I believe verbatim, adopted what the court had told him to do. And then there was an email that circulated to counsel, to both of us, obviously, indicating that the assignment had to be framed in a more declarative fashion, that whether...
Without a question mark.
Correct, exactly, which was what the court had said the assignment was, but he then complied with that, and as you probably would note from my brief, there is a little subtext underneath the bolded part of that assignment talking a little bit about some statutory protection. So that was sort of the history of the assignment of error. It is a little complicated in this case.
I'm wondering where the statutory aspect of it was added.
I think the original assignment was whether, again, that being incorrectly phrased, the trial court violated appellant's constitutional right to a fair and impartial jury by not impaneling a second jury.
That was the actual granted, and then again, slightly modified to comply with the court's subsequent order.
What's the harm of remanding this back for another for resentencing with a jury? We only have one sentence. The only issue is whether he's been convicted. Why are we really here?
Well, yeah, I have to apologize because I think I'm going to have to dispel an erroneous perception that I perhaps helped create. I started picking at Hines and at this statute, Hines being the case that talked about mandatory minimums in the context of 53.1, and at the statute itself, and took a really hard look at Judge Elder's opinion in that last night. And I think there is potential harm. I don't think there is an upside, but if I, after looking at what Judge Elder said and how he distinguished 53.1 from 308.2 and all the other mandatory minimum statutes, and I don't know if the court remembers, but there was a dissent from Judge Kelsey in this case, but the question was, could the court impose more than a three-year sentence? And ultimately the court held, the majority of the court held that in that case, you couldn't. That you were. It was either 3 or 5 years. I can't remember what was in play in that case. But Judge Elder made a very specific effort to distinguish that statute from all the other mandatory minimum statutes, including this one, in that the others actually list a class of felony, as does this one, and it makes it a class 6 felony. So, if I understand the mechanics of this, again, with my newfound ability to actually read the case and the statute that has come up in the last 12 hours or so, if I understand correctly, if this thing gets remanded, and the only thing that I didn't verify in my own mind was I didn't actually put my hand on the North Carolina order, but I'm going to assume, based on what everybody said below, that this North Carolina conviction was within 10 years prior to this offense, which would trigger the 2-year mandatory minimum. So this goes back to for a jury sentencing with this gentleman who's gotten a 2-year sentence, and the jury is going to be essentially instructed, it's a class 6 felony. I don't even know exactly how they frame it. You've got to give him 2. The court can't reduce or suspend that. You can give him as much as 5. You can give him as much as 5, and I think based on Greer, in the unlikely event, you get some sort of nullification at that level, which I think is unlikely, that we can keep putting juries in the box until somebody gets it right. So the upshot of that is, and usually I'm not advocating against harm, but I think the potential harm here is for the defendant. It's not for the Commonwealth, because the judge is certainly free, I think, to say, look, you asked for, and we see this a lot, you ask for community standards for whatever reason, you wanted a jury to weigh in on this, and it didn't make any sense, but there are a lot of things that happen in criminal cases that don't necessarily make sense. This jury weighed in and said the community standards were 4 years, 5 years, I'm not going to reduce it, I'm not going to suspend it, and even if I suspend it, I'm not going to, I might suspend it, I might not reduce it, so you might still have a couple more years of suspended time hanging over your head that wouldn't have been there under the current scenario. The bottom line is the sentence that he has now
is his absolute best-case scenario, I think. Again, absent nullification, which I think there's a way around that post-Greer.
But your whole argument opposing remand for resentencing is on the fairly narrow issue of whether, by failing to mention the statutory requirement for jury resentencing, he has somehow waived his objection.
Well, I think it's a couple things. It was made clear somewhere in the record that the court had some unspecified higher authority. I don't know what that was.
Not a.
You know, I was racking my brain about that last night, and I do think that I sometimes I conjure up more things now than I used to, but I feel like there might be a Judge Elder case that might actually survive the holding in Rawls, where there was some sort of error at sentencing, but the jury gave the absolute minimum, and the court said that was harmless. And I don't know if the judge was looking at those things or what, but the upshot of it was, we've got a judge saying, we've got apparently, at least, a defense attorney saying, and nobody disputing this, that the judge has found some legal authority. We don't know exactly what it was. The defendant doesn't say, no, you're wrong. He certainly doesn't say what he says here, and instead, when he's offered to give reasons, he gives totally different reasons, which, as I pointed out on brief, have absolutely nothing to do with statutory protections, and have nothing to do with relevant evidence at sentencing.
Do you have any position on whether the statutory right for jury sentence is inherent in any way in the constitutional right to a trial by jury?
I think it's the opposite. There are, I think my opponent pointed out on brief, there are 7 states, I think, that allow it.
No, I'm talking, but the Virginia Constitution specifically sets out a right to a unanimous jury verdict.
Okay.
So, and for years, of course, we had a unitary trial. And I know there's at least one case out there where prior to the bifurcation, the Supreme Court has said that the right to be sentenced by a jury is inherent in the right to be tried by a jury. Now that we have bifurcation, and particularly in light of that Ballard case where the Supreme Court said it's not a fundamental right, I'm not sure that that's still good case law, but there's nobody has ever, that I can find, specifically said whether or not the right to trial by jury includes the right to sentence by jury.
I think, given the case that you cited, we have the statute now. I'm not aware of a case. I know it's not a federal constitutional right. That much I know.
I agree there.
And
I would think that your office would like to see it as a part of the constitutional right to trial by jury. And as a former prosecutor, that would certainly have been the position I would have wanted to advocate.
Right, but here we have the statute that, if everybody agrees.
But the statute can just be an implementation statute.
Right.
Implementing the right granted by the Constitution.
Right. Yeah, I'm not sure that has been addressed. I'd have to noodle around with it a little bit to really think about it in terms of whether, I'd want to read the constitutional provision too. We think it's defaulted. I don't think there's an equal protection problem either, because there is a rational basis with this guy to say that you got your best deal. That would be a rational basis not to send this back under equal protection, and also to say it was harmless. You can say equal protection errors are harmless, so. In light of that, I'd ask you to affirm.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sloan?
Thank you, Your Honor. Just to reiterate that I think the tradition history of Virginia does provide for a jury in the sentencing phase.
What's your thoughts or position on Mr. Jeffries' observation that if it is remanded back for jury trial, there would be a potential 5 years of exposure your client would face opposed to the two that he has now?
That is very likely.
Is there any way that it can go down?
That will be another issue that may end up here if it goes back. To respond to your question very briefly, the jury verdict form that the original jury had allowed for finding of guilty possession by a violent felon with a 5-year sentence, guilty of the plain, simple statute, which is class 6 felony, or not guilty. There was not a finding provided for the finding of the intermediate possession of a firearm within 10 years on the jury verdict form. So that, as counsel points out, that is an unusually written statute that has a clause that I've never wrestled with in the middle as far as sentencing is concerned. But I would hope, my client would hope. But I believe that's all of my remarks. Right. Thank you. I would hope that we could find him a lesser sentence than he had.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We will greet counsel, and then we will take up the next case on our docket, which is